We're going to take a few moments and talk with Bev Harris, of course, blackboxvoting.org. She's the author of Black Box Voting, Ballot Tampering in the 21st Century. She began writing on the subject of electronic voting machines in October of 2002, and Harris has spent more than 2,000 hours researching voting machines and has interviewed hundreds of witnesses. You know, she's been on this program before, and we've talked about this issue. Bev, could I say that you've been vindicated, fighting away at this for all these years? Was this expected by Diebold to at least admit there's a problem here with their back door, or does this really mean anything?
Well, we have to see that something really is done about it. And Diebold has admitted things before. They always minimize and call me a crazy person, and then they, you know, belatedly and quietly admit that I was right. They did that before in about 2004 with another vulnerability I found. But the problem with the touch screens. Now, Diebold is admitting to about like one-tenth of it, but the problem is bigger than what they're admitting to, and frankly, they are going to have to pull those things off the shelf. It probably won't happen without citizens getting behind it and saying this is not acceptable. But let me just quickly describe what we found. We were invited into a county that had just taken delivery on new Diebold touchscreen machines in Utah, and of course, they're the same nationwide because they're standardized. And I brought in an expert from Finland. He's one of the few scientists who was unafraid to tell the truth. And then when he looked at him, what he saw was so serious that we actually called in another security firm altogether to corroborate it. But basically what he found was, you know, they call it a back door when there's something that enables someone to get in that shouldn't. And it's not a physical thing. It's
right.
A software thing. He found several different levels of the program, and in each level there was a built-in back door. So it's not a minimal thing, because we need to find out why those were put there.
Exactly.
Because it wasn't a mistake.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Bev. If it wasn't a mistake, then there's something very serious going on here.
Right. And so they can say, oh, it's okay, we'll fix it. That's why I'm not surprised, because they'd rather hurry out and fix it than have people ask too many questions. What needs to happen is, even if it's just at the state level, we need to get a state legislature or the Congress to – there's one particular programmer who we know is the guy who did the programming for this. And he needs to be put under oath and subpoenaed and asked some questions, because I don't really care what their PR people say. You don't have a backdoor built into three consecutive levels on purpose without somebody needing to answer some questions.
And I love the comment here, of course, that they say, hey, there's really not much to worry about, because this will still remain in the hands of trusted election officials. That bothers me more than anything.
And
I'm sure, Bev, as you well know, there are some dedicated election workers out there. They're honest. They're out there. They're sincere. But not all of them are.
Right. And understand that Diebold's idea of a trusted election worker is not only every election worker in all the 10,000 jurisdictions, but every poll worker, which takes that up to a pool of about 3 million people. Now, I ask you, if you have a company and it has 3 million employees, are you going to say, well, I'll just leave the keys to the bank vault out, because none of the 3 million could possibly be dishonest?
How many voting machines, or what percent does Diebold have of the market?
They've got about half the market, and this particular machine is in about 30 states. Some states have it exclusively, Georgia, Maryland, Mississippi, Utah, and a large amount of California has this machine, and it really needs to be pulled off the shelf. Now, Diebold has another product that would be a better product to replace it with, but this is very much like a Ford Pinto with an exploding gas tank. You cannot just say, well, you know, we hope nothing happens now that we know about it. You've got to pull it off the shelf.
Well, the problem is, too, is if they say they fixed it, who can believe that?
And also, one of the other things we found is it can be recontaminated right away. So that's nice. You fixed it for 2 minutes, and except because of the way it's built in, it's as if you had like a hose going into your foundation that was pumping toxic waste, and they go, okay, well, we'll clean that out, but it's still pumping toxic waste anytime someone wants to turn on the spigot. I mean, you have to actually re-architecture the system. You can't just go in and change a few things.
Who buys the machines? Is it done on a state election commission basis, or is it done on a county-by-county basis, or a city-by-city basis?
Well, all of the above, but Diebold really pushes for the statewide buy, because then they really only need to convince two or three people. So they got the state of Ohio, they got the state of Utah, the state of Mississippi, the state of Georgia, the state of Maryland, and the state of Arizona.
Do they have Florida?
They pretty much just come in and do a clean sweep.
Do they have Florida now?
They've got 30 out of the 66 counties.
30 out of 66. All right. So would you, you know, recommend to some of these states, hey, get a refund, buy these machines from another company?
Yeah. Well, we're going to be coming out with a specific set of
guidelines, recommendations.
But I will say, this is a consumer protection issue. Well, I keep hearing from politicians, they go, well, it's political. Well, no, it's a consumer protection issue. You wasted our tax dollars on it, so now get our money back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is it possible?
Yes, it's absolutely possible. But you know what? I've discovered that the politicians don't do anything unless the citizens push them. Otherwise, they just say, I have to get reelected and I don't want to do anything controversial. So what you have to do is make it more controversial for them to say no than to say yes.
Well, you couple this with, I guess we could say he's the former head of Diebold now. He's gone, right? The person that claimed...
Raleigh O'Dell, yes.
Yeah, the person that claimed he was going to bring the election home for the president, which was a dumb thing to say,
right,
when you're selling the voting machines all around the country. I mean, he just should have kept his mouth quiet.
Right.
So he's gone, though, but, I mean, you couple the things he said with the fact that there are definite flaws now in the machine. I do think the credibility has really gone out the door.
Oh, yeah. And I do want to say, too, that a lot of people want to look at this as one party trying to steal the election from the other. What we're finding is it's whatever party happens to be in power in the jurisdiction that has them. So, for example, in my county, it's a Democrat-controlled county, and they have Diebold machines. And the worry is not – it's the worry is whoever has custody. It's not – one party against another, per se. So you really find that there's a lot of Democrat areas that have these machines in some states, and in other states a lot of Republican. And the issue is the machines are open for business.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. You're not pointing fingers at any particular party. You're pointing fingers at the possibility of any party that might be controlling these things.
Right.
And that's the serious flaw. So what do we do next, Bev?
Well, let me tell you, Diebold has a really cool machine that they don't like to tell anyone about because they won't make very much money on it, but
it's
really
cheaper.
Cool. Let me tell you how cool it is. You have a paper ballot, and you vote, and it goes through this machine, and the machine immediately takes a digital photograph of the ballot, which it keeps on a disc. Well, guess what? With public records laws, we can get those discs, and we can get the photographs of every ballot that went through those machines, and it costs only about $5. Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
Yeah. Diebold doesn't really want to tell anyone about that because, you see, the total amount of sales they would get if they sold those machines is less than one-tenth of what they get selling the touchscreens. And the big thing is their big money comes from their ongoing service contracts with the touchscreens, where they have all these technicians running around charging $1,200
a day. Yeah, it's just like these appliance companies. You know, you go out and buy a refrigerator, and you know, I assume they make some money on that, but they really want to sell those three-year service agreements,
right,
with it.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, they don't really have much service they have to do with these simple optical scan machines that just feed a ballot through and take an image, and, you know, you can get a CD with the images. So they don't like to really mention that. But the fact is, elections are not about some company making a profit. Elections are about having a good election.
Would you endorse this new this other Diebold machine?
I think we will be, and Diebold is not the only company that makes this type of machine. There's another company called Hard Inter Civic that makes it, and actually these types of machines are becoming more and more common. In fact, a lot of the little office scanners actually do this. People just don't realize it. But the great thing about it is if you can actually photograph every ballot when it comes through, we would have much more oversight than we used to have, because citizens or the media, you could go in on election night and say, I'd like to have that CD, and you could start looking at the ballots yourself.
What elections have these flawed machines been used in?
They have been used quite widely since 2002. So the 2002 federal, the election that tipped control of Congress, and, of course, the election in 2004. But this coming one in 2006 will have the most ever, because they got about four more statewide buys. And it's really a concern. I have to say, the issue is this. Once with the particular flaws we found, once the machine is contaminated, it's contaminated for life. And what I mean by contaminated is, if you get at it any time from the factory on for 2 minutes and you manage to put an exploit into through this back door, it will sit there waiting for instructions for the rest of its life. And the other whammy on that is even the top security experts said there is no forensic test that will tell whether or not a machine has been contaminated. So you've got all these machines out there, and we really don't know.
Well, and if matters aren't any worse for Diebold, a story that broke last week, the Securities and Exchange Commission is looking at how the voting machine maker Diebold reports its revenue.
Right.
And so, I mean, that could be another big...
They do have accounting problems. We did something. Now, I have to tell you, we've got only three people, but we've got one investigator. She's 54. And just think like a 54-year-old Holly Hunter, really wonderful gal.
Were you behind this, Bev?
At what?
This SEC probe?
There's probably some of that behind there. We actually, what happened is Diebold got a report from a whistleblower that there were accounting irregularities in their elections division, and we didn't know that, but we happened to go down there, and my friend, the little, her name's Kathleen Wynn, and she says, you know what, I've never done this, but I'm going to hop in their dumpster and see what's in there. So she hops in there. I mean, this woman is just, she's just full of life. It's so funny. And she starts hauling bags out, and she got 12 bags of financial statements, and it's not even shredded. And it turns out that they were purging in a hurry before the corporate office came down to look into whatever had been the whistleblower had been. So we found evidence of payments to Abramoff's firm, all kinds of strange success fee payments and payments to lottery firms for like $50,000, $200,000 unspecified success fees, you know. So pretty much that's a violation of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act for securities, and I'm sure that they have not properly disclosed the real risks to their stockholders with these voting machines.
Why don't we go back to paper ballots? I mean, so what if we get the election results right now, 10 minutes after the polls in respective states close? I'd rather wait and have it done right.
Oh, yeah. Somehow a whole lot of people got a vested interest in doing it this way. It's not just the vendors. It's also you've got all these university scientists. There's this one group of them that have put together this National Science Foundation $8 million grant for themselves to study these machines. Well, they're all out of a job if we go back to paper ballots.
Hey, Commie Joseph Stalin once said, he who casts the vote decides nothing. He who counts the vote decides everything.
Right.
That
quote
says it all. That says it all. Bev, if people want more information from you, what do they do?
Blackboxvoting.org. I'm going crazy this week, I'll warn you. So I'm way behind in my email, but we're pretty accessible over at Black Box Voting. And so we've got a couple things. We've got our email address there, but we also have a really neat online, if we call it one-on-one. And so, like, if you want to get involved, but it's kind of a complicated issue, all we say is just ask one question. We don't care what it is. Just ask one question, and then our people will come onto this kind of live forum and say, here's what you might want to do in your situation. And we've found that people really find that a very easy way to get involved because it's different in every single county, and some places have really nice officials and some have really crabby officials. And so that's one of the things I really do recommend. Another thing we're recommending is if you've got an election coming up, which an awful lot of places do, take a tape recorder, that get evidence. Now, there are some states, it's a minority of states, but some states you have to wear that on the outside,
right,
so people can see it. But get evidence of what you're seeing. Take a cell phone that takes a camera. If the computer screen glitches out and has a horrible error, get a picture of it.
I love it. Thanks, Bev. We'll be talking to you again, I'm sure.
Great. Thanks a lot.
That's Bev Harris, Black Box Voting.